and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left hook, right hand! Deontay Wilder! All over Fury!
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You want to run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You going to run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You asked me how well did he fight, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. He punched good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from Sports Byline HQ in the city by the bay, San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37-plus years now of knockout bums. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez, your modest host. Of course, I'm also an award-winning boxing writer, former Golden Glove champion, so I know a little bit about the game. Of course, if you're joining us for the very first time today, let me welcome you to the Ring Talk family. If you've been here for a while, you know what time it is. We're talking combat sports, mainly boxing, but we'll include some MMA in the next 2 hours. Of course, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and the new SiriusXM satellite radio channel 217. So straight up, we've got 2 hours of combat sports. Anthony Joshua, a winner yesterday, dropped Kubrat Pulev not once, not twice, but four times. Knocked him out in the ninth round. Probably a predictable fight, but if ever a guy fought handcuffed, it was Pulev. I mean, I know the idea was to get Joshua a couple of rounds in and then go after him, but he never went after him. He never threw any punches. I mean, he literally fought handcuffed. I don't know if he choked at the moment. There wasn't a big crowd there or anything like that. I don't know if Kubrat choked at the moment like he did with Klitschko. Of course, at prior losses when he got knocked out 7 years ago. But the bottom line is he just didn't bring it last night. Of course, Anthony Joshua is still the WBO, WBA. I got a whole bunch of belts. Anyway, but the real world champion is Tyson Fury. And he hasn't got an opponent right now. They're trying to get him a fight. Straight up, that's the fight everybody wants to see, Joshua and Fury. And why? Because Tyson Fury is going to knock Joshua into another time zone. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Coming up after the break, after a short little spiel, we'll bring in the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Hour number two, it's all about macho time. Hector Camacho in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Pretty good weekend in the world of boxing. Maybe not all that much quality, but a lot of quantity. Of course, Anthony Joshua is successful across the pond on the zone. Felix Verdejo, probably the surprise of the weekend, was Felix Verdejo getting drilled by Masashi Nakatami. Nakatami went 12 rounds with Teofimo Lopez's last fight, so I don't know why that was such a surprise, but he stopped Felix Verdejo in stunning fashion. Of course, the Puerto Rican at one point in time was called the next Felix Trinidad. Well, that ain't happening. Hour number two, of course, we're talking nothing but macho time. Of course, the new documentary out on Hector Macho Camacho talked all about his cocaine problems. I told you about the time in Puerto Rico when I went to his hotel room and I was in the arena and the promoter came to me and said, Camacho's not coming. And I said, what do you mean he's not coming? He goes, he's not coming. I said, well, time out. What? He goes, he's not coming. And if he doesn't come, you're not getting paid. And I said, well, what is that, some type of threat? He goes, no, that's just the way it is. He goes, this is it. This is real life, Pedro. He goes, what I'm trying to tell you is you got to go to the hotel and get Camacho out of there. So anyway, I went to the door of his hotel. I got a limo to go back in a tuxedo, banging on his door, this hotel, casino, bang, 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 penthouse, banging. Finally opens the door. There's cocaine all over the place. Everywhere you look, there's a bundle. He's got all his cocaine on the kitchen table or at the big table there. And finally, I mean, I beg him for like, yeah, I guess about 8 to 10 minutes. And finally get to the point where, I mean, he can't hit this guy. You know what I mean? I can't hit him or anything. What else can I do? I mean, begging's all I can do, boss, basically here. So anyway, he finally goes, okay, let's go. And boom, he gets into the limo and he's doing blow in the limo and he's bouncing all over the limo and I'm freaking out. I'm saying to myself, well, I got him in the car. Let's get him to the arena. Getting him into the ring is something else, right? So anyway, we get him to the arena. I give him to the promoter who was the late Harold Smith, aka Ross Fields. Smell something there. Anyway, so I give him to the promoter and I don't see him until he steps into the ring and fight Jorge Vaca. Well, the bell rings. He runs across the ring. He purposely butts Vaca, causes a foul. The fight stopped in the very first round. I'm going to say that was Hector Camacho, but at the end of the day, he walked out of the ring and he says to me, you got your money. Yeah, I got paid. Anyway, we go from that story to the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Larry, you had some funny times with Camacho?
I can't say they were funny times, but I did once interview him and his family up in East Harlem, and I covered a number of his fights, and he was a tremendous talent, and I guess he just was one of those entertainers who can't handle all the incoming and went off on his own and had a tragic end to his life.
Good point.
Did you like the documentary?
I haven't watched it in total yet, but I've got some clips of it. We'll air some clips in hour number two, but I will be getting on that tonight. Some other questions. Did you get a chance to see Anthony Joshua yesterday?
No, I didn't know where to find him. I looked all over, and the paper didn't say anything about it.
It was on DAZN, and he knocks Pulev down four times. Pulev fought handcuffed. Godfather, I don't understand that. I know guys are bigger than you, and when you have a size disadvantage, you're at a disadvantage, okay? I mean, I understand that, sometimes emotionally as well. But you have to step forward. You have to let your hands go. You can't fight handcuffed and expect to win a fight. I mean, Anthony Joshua was square. His shoulders were square. His chin was up in the air. I mean, there were all kinds of technical flaws you might have been able to exploit had you decided to throw some punches, and Pulev never threw a punch, ever.
Well, maybe he was afraid.
That afraid thing, you know.
Maybe he stopped punching and fighting as soon as he signed the contract and made a good payday.
Okay. Things are happening. Of course, the Anthony Joshua now winning with Pulev. He's talking about possibly fighting Tyson Fury again. But here's something I wanted to throw at you before I went into the Philly thing.
Again, they haven't fought once yet.
No. I'm trying to. What? Oh God, you threw me off there. We're talking with Larry Merchant, of course, the retired HBO Godfather, and I watched some great fights over the weekend. Not great fights, but okay fights over the weekend. I think the next great fight will be when Teofimo Lopez steps up and defends that lightweight championship. Of course, Larry's not as high on him as I am, but I think this kid's going to, him and Shakur Stevenson, I think those two guys, play possibly a couple of welterweights as well, have a chance to be the face of boxing. And there's a chance, Canelo's not going to be here forever.
No, I don't know where you get the idea that I didn't like Lopez. I did like him a lot.
Okay.
I mean, we have to see what he does next, whether they're going to give him some soft opponents. I mean, nobody expects a champion to fight the toughest guy out there every single time. He has to get some reward for winning the title. But I'm curious. He's a young guy, and he looks like a tremendous talent, really, really strong, really self-possessed. I like him a lot.
The guy that he's going to fight is from across the. He's from Australia. I can't think. Oh, there it is. George Kambrasis Jr. He beat Leo Selby a couple of weeks ago in the UK on a split decision. I thought that was unanimous. But he's 19 and zip. And what they're willing to do is they're willing to give Lopez a lot of money to go to Australia and fight a guy that he's supposed to beat. He's got a good record, this and that. So I think this would be a good time to take advantage of that, because as you said, you got to make some money. When the idea, people say to me, championships, championships, championships. Well, you can have a lot of belts, but if you don't have any money to pay the belts won't do anything for you.
No, I get it. But, some fighters and promoters go way beyond the pale by avoiding obvious big fights because they present
threats. A threat.
A chance to lose.
Yep.
And they want to get paid outrageously for fighting a competitive fight. And the result is we don't get a lot of big competitive fights at the top end of the game.
When Terrence Crawford said, F it. That was his exact quote, F it. And I can't say that on the word, on the air, but he's going back to 135. That would be, you know, I don't think I personally, after, thinking about him living at 147 and going back to 135, I think he's biting off more than he could chew because 12 pounds is a lot to lose.
Well, I don't know if he's a natural welterweight, but it sounds to me like he decided that when he saw, Spence, dismantle, Garcia, he decided he didn't want any part of Spence.
Well,
I mean, I can't find any excuse for it since it would be the biggest fight in that division and it would be a sizable pay-per-view. If he goes back to 135, I don't know what he has in mind, but it sounds like a guy who's ducking an opportunity to make a lot of money to fight an outstanding fighter.
You know, they both want to fight, and it's not me because I'm like in my 60s. They want to fight Manny Pacquiao, who's 41. I mean, that's both like number one on their list there. I understand that's where the money's at. But isn't Pacquiao at an incredible size disadvantage against both those guys, especially Spence?
Tell me something I don't know, but,
I'm leading to a question here.
Okay, everybody wants to fight him for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
He ain't what he used to be, although he's still pretty darn good, as he showed in his last fight. And that's where the money is.
You know, being a former fighter, is he kept moving up in weight. That kept saying, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. Because I couldn't put on the weight and fight. I mean, guys I know couldn't put on the weight and fight, and yet he did it, man. But an incredible athlete, no doubt about that. A champion, of course, from 112 to 147 pounds. I think he held a 54-pound title for a minute. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. We return from the break. We talk about the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, and what it meant to the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Of course, he spent some time there. He knows Philly. Larry knows Philly. We're back, Larry and Philly, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
But like I said, he brings excellent condition and he's determined.
Why didn't you go after him to try to knock him out when you knocked him down early in the third round?
I say, why get callous if I've been training for 2 months?
Here's the knockdown. Describe it to us as you see it.
Well, like I told Jimmy, the 1-2 with you on the gentleman all the time. But I wasn't going to get overexcited and play myself cheap. I said, I'll knock him out early if it happens. If not, if it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
No, because I knocked down a lot of fighters that still took my time. I'm just getting seasoned through every fight, and I'm pound for pound, I'm the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Bring him on. Bring him on. Mancini, I don't respect your opinion. Come on, baby. So I can knock you out.
Who are some of the
fighters? Willicker, you could get some, baby. You could get some, too. Brian Boone. Jimmy Paul. Sorry, Holmes. All your come on with it, baby. Yeah, buddy. Let's hear from you, Larry.
What about Aaron Pryor?
Aaron Pryor, come on with it, baby. I got faith in you. You bounce back. I know you. Come on, baby. Come on with it. It's my show time.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
August 10th, 1985. Larry Merchant and the late Hector Camacho at the Riviera Hotel after a 12-round decision over Jose Luis Ramirez. Of course, Jose Luis Ramirez, a guy that I spent some time with down there in San Jose, a rough customer, no doubt about that, and the former lightweight champion. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, the MMA. No city sort of has a boxing aura about it like Philadelphia. Don't ask me why, but people tell me Philly fighters are different, with the exception of Danny Garcia. Philly fighters are different. And the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, spent a lot of time in Philly. How much time did you spend in Philly, and when did you get there, Larry?
I got there in the mid-50s and was there for about a decade as a photo editor, a sports editor, and columnist. And I still have a good feeling about Philadelphia in the pit of my stomach.
What good feeling? I mean, outside of me ruining a $200 pair of shoes one time, stepping out of a car and into a puddle, I haven't got too many fond memories of Philadelphia. So tell me about yours.
Well, I have a lot of fond memories. I became sports editor while I was photo editor when I found out that a few streets away from our offices, there was an all-night theater. And it was a guy who sold the tickets and made sure that things didn't ever get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Bob Montgomery,
ooh,
one of the best lightweights ever. And I wrote a piece about it, even though nobody asked me to write about him and so on. And I submitted it, and ultimately it led to my becoming sports editor. And Philadelphia had a very lively boxing scene, dozens and dozens and dozens of gyms all over the place. And you had to fight your way out of those gyms to get into the real world. And so the guys who did fight their way out were pretty good and pretty tough. And it was a lively boxing scene, and it had even been livelier before I got there, and when they would have boxing shows every night of the week.
I'm sorry. Meldrick Taylor was a Philly fighter. You know, that fight, of course, with Chavez, where he was leading after 11 rounds, and he went out there and decided to fight Chavez in the 12th round and got knocked out. Was that the Philly fighter in him?
I would say yes. I think that he had been hurt before that 12th round, mm-hmm, and wasn't all there. But for the referee to stop that fight with 3 seconds left seemed to me not an example of justice in boxing.
But Godfather, here I was looking into his eyes. I was looking into the fighter's eyes, and he's looking at Lou Duva. Lou Duva was standing up on the ring apron waving his hands. In other words, Lou Duva was distracting the kid, and a lot of times as amateurs, this is what I was always told, Godfather, if you get knocked down, look to your corner. So you always look to your corner when you get hurt.
Well, yes, and Lou Duva was an excitable guy and personality and trainer.
Mm-hmm.
He got up, but he didn't tell him to stop the fight. That's not what he was doing. And still, there were 3 seconds left in the fight. The buzzer in the corner had lit up as a flag that it was coming to an end, and still the referee stopped the fight. And that referee, I forget his name,
Richard Steele.
Popular.
Richard Steele.
Yeah, and he didn't get many, if any, fights to do in Philadelphia after that, or anywhere else.
Yeah, he became a gym owner / manager with his wife. What about Frank? What about this guy? They had a mayor in Philadelphia named Frank Rizzo. I mean, did you ever come in contact with him? Was he the mob? Or what was Frank Rizzo about?
Well, Rizzo had been police commissioner and had apparently been effective in going after the bad guys. I don't know if he went after all the bad guys, but he became a popular police commissioner and then mayor. But I was gone for most of the time that he was mayor. I may have been there briefly when I left in the mid-60s to go to New York. that Philadelphia was a rough town. It was a town that celebrated the high arts as well as the low arts. They had a famous conductor there named Eugene Normandy, and in a music hall, he performed in a music hall across the street from a restaurant, the name of which I forget. Oh, Tendler's, Lou Tendler. Lou Tendler had been an outstanding lightweight in the 20s. And he had this hangout, this restaurant where boxing people hung out. So that was the both sides of Philadelphia on Market Street. And the great arts, the music, the jazz. I saw Duke Ellington and many others perform in Philadelphia. Nina Simone. And of course I went to many fights and they had great fighters. Let me check. There was a guy there named, a manager named Georgie Katz. And he managed a young whirlwind named, I can't think of his first name, Turner.
Ike?
And he put Turner in when he was 20 or 21 years old. He put him in with, who was the great fighter from Cuba in those days?
Annapolis?
No, this was before Annapolis.
Kid Gavilan?
Kid Gavilan. Gavilan was an experienced, strong opponent, and he beat Turner up. And Georgie Katz used to say, I turned a champion into a contender.
I gave Kid Gavilan a microphone one time around 2000 in Miami, Florida. You don't give microphones to ex-fighters. You don't give microphones to children, believe me. You know what I'm talking about with that Godfather? You never knew what they're going to say. I mean, he went absolutely nuts when I gave him the microphone. But anyway, great fighter that he was, Kid Gavilan. What about the non-boxing sports guys in Philly? What about them? Who were they?
Oh, well, I would say the two biggest guys there were three or four in football. Chuck Bednarik, who had been an All-American at the University of Pennsylvania and then became the star of a championship team, was a great linebacker. I think he was the model for all modern linebackers. He was about 6'3" and 240 and quick and smart. And that was at a time when you had linemen who weighed 210 pounds. Then they had Norm Van Brocklin, who had been traded from Los Angeles, and Van Brocklin led, and I mean do mean led, in every sense of the term, the Eagles to a championship in 1960 and became the only quarterback in NFL history to win championships with different teams. And in baseball, they had Robin Roberts, the great Hall of Fame pitcher. When I arrived in the mid-50s, when I was there, they had some of the leftovers of a team in the 1950s, earlier in the decade, called the Whiz Kids.
You know, Godfather, we're running up on a hard break. Let's stick around and continue this conversation after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Larry Merchant on the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. North Philly was a little rough for me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live World.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What you gonna play now?
Bobby, I don't know. But whatsoever I play, it's got to be funky.
Yeah.
One, two, three, make it funky. Make it funky.
godfather of soul, Mr. James Brown. Got to see him one time. Got a couple stories about him. I'll let that go for another day. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Larry, you talk about the big Philly athletes who weren't associated with boxing in Philadelphia.
I didn't mention Will Chamberlain, who was a high school phenomenon in Philadelphia and then played professionally there.
Okay, I got to ask you this. Why in the hell would the Warriors trade away Will Chamberlain? Why would they trade away Will Chamberlain? I never got that. I never understood that. Did somebody put a gun to their head, kidnap?
No, I think I was gone when that happened, but Will Chamberlain was a prima donna. And I was in the 76ers dressing room one time, and he started to ream out their coach, Frank McGuire, a famous championship coach, because McGuire had called a practice the next day, and Will Chamberlain was scheduled to go to New York City and hang out there, and he started yelling at Frank McGuire while I was there. Mm-hmm. So he was not an easy guy to deal with, and that's why he never won many championships playing against the Bill Russell Celtics. But he was a good guy. I liked him. I wrote columns about him, but he was a prima donna, and it didn't work.
He was 7 foot tall. I mean, he was like the first 7-footer, wasn't he?
He was like 7'1", and he was a track star.
And he allegedly, he was a star between the sheets, too.
Well, he claimed that. I think he said he had 10,000 women or some number.
Good luck with that one, Will. did you ever come in contact with Angelo Bruno when you were in Philadelphia, the mob boss? Do you remember him?
Yes, of course. He was an important character in the boxing scene. I'm sure I was at many fights with him. I didn't have direct contact, but if you got time for a little story, they had a fighter named Len Matthews, one of the best looking young fighters I ever saw. And, he was fighting some, barely opponent, in Philadelphia. And that week, at a club fight, two guys who had a fight on the job were given permission to fight on the undercard.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline in the Daily News was, "He called me a lousy bricklayer." and the next day, the headline was, "He is a lousy bricklayer." They had to call the fire department out because there were so many people trying to cram into that fight club. So the mob people there tried to make a meeting with me, and they came up to my office, and we went out into a little side place, and they started taking money out of their pockets to give me. And I said, "Whoa, that's not how it works."
You know,
but that was Philly.
Yeah, I remember when Joey Merlino was running the mob, I guess he was running the mob. 1990, he showed up at a party post-fight. We all did a fight in Atlantic City. I think it was the Ray Mercer, Tommy Morrison fight. And Joey Merlino showed up at the post-fight press conference. And that was a little scary. I mean, it was a little scary being around. It was just a little bit scary. I mean, I didn't want to have any issues with him, obviously. I mean, the head of the mob. With that being said, you and the Godmama have a wonderful week. You guys got any special plans? I know I'm still in isolation up here.
Well, so it was. You know, I like to say we're entering the championship round.
We are.
Of this COVID thing, and we got to nail it down.
What?
Not go crazy. It's understandable. People want to resume their social lives, but now's the time when you got to hunker down and beat it in the championship rounds.
You know, I said last week that I think that if you had a little military training or you were a dedicated athlete, you'd probably be better equipped to deal with this pandemic because you've been deprived. You had to make sacrifices and you realize that. And, you know, with the sacrifice, the fact sacrifice I'm asking people to make is that they wear a mask and not get themselves sick and not get other people sick. And that seems to be infringing on people's rights. Anyway, you have a wonderful week. Kiss the godmama for me. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Pedro.
The one, the only, the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Now we go to the weekend in review. Of course, Shakur Stevenson now. What is he, 11-0? Guy's only got a few fights, but the bottom line is he just keeps winning. He just keeps winning. I mean, at the end of the day, he may be the guy at 135 when he steps up in weight that can deal with Teofimo Lopez. Who knows? Of course, the fight we want to see is really Teofimo Lopez and Gervonta Davis. I mean, Hector Martinez says there's only a few fights he wants to see, and that's really one of them right there. And, of course, Davis, the tank, undefeated, drops down to 130 pounds, and beats Leo Santa Cruz. Of course, that was a vicious knockout, but he was supposed to do that. It was no surprise. I mean, not supposed to end it in that brutal of a manner, but he was supposed to beat Sanchez. I mean, the guy was coming in smaller. Anytime you come in that much smaller than a puncher, a guy that's breaking his ass to make 135 pounds, broke his ass to make 130 pounds, got down to 130, and of course, ballooned back up to where are probably around 150 pounds. So when Leo stepped in the room, when Leo Santa Cruz stepped in the ring with him, he wasn't different sizes, straight up different sizes. You know, and there are certain, how can I put this, mismatches, like Tommy Hearns and Roberto Duran. I mean, that was a mismatch, no doubt about that. And, of course, I mean, when you look at it, where I was standing there beside the ring saying to myself, you know, this just doesn't look right. Of course, Duran got lit up like the White House Christmas tree, but he wasn't in shape and all that kind of good stuff. But even if he had been in shape, there's two different guys, two different sizes. And that's what I keep trying to tell people about size and boxing, how it matters in performance. Size matters in two things, combat sports and pornography. I hate to say it like that, but straight up, you've got to get your act together as far as the boxing games are concerned right now, because we've got ESPN going, we've got DAZN going, DAZN's trying to flood you with boxing. And of course, it isn't all quality boxing. They've got chicks in between, talking in between fights, and they have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm sorry, women, I'm not trying to dog women in general, this and that, but these two chick announcers, these two female announcers that got on DAZN, we're talking about this and talking about that from the UK. Come on. I understand, you know, you want to add a little diversity to the broadcast team and add women to the broadcast team. You can add gays to the broadcast team. I don't care as long as they're good. I don't care who you can put a couple of trained monkeys on the, if they can do the job, they can do the job. The women, they can't do the job. So what I'm trying to say is Barry Hearn and those guys, the UK promoter that's basically running the zone, maybe it's time for you to like to get rid of those chicks. Speaking of the zone, of course, Canelo Alvarez quit the zone. Had that big contract dispute. Of course, he signed that $375 million contract, 11 fights or something like that, and he had a couple of fights. And then he said, maybe I don't want to fight for you guys anymore if you can't pay me all the money that I want. Of course, the zone hurting for money, allegedly, during this pandemic thing, because when a promoter throws a fight now, he can't get a live audience. And speaking of live audience, they probably won't come back to a big crowd until 2022. I think that's when the experts are trying to say that things will be better as far as the vaccine is concerned. Because remember, the vaccine, when it rolls out this week, you know, minimal amount of people are going to get it at first, and hopefully the entire population could be vaccinated, or most of us that want the vaccination, and I do. I'm not a big vaccination guy. I mean, I'm not. I know there was a big a scam with the polio vaccine in the 1960s. One of them was contaminated and things like that. So I know there's been some history as far as the vaccinations are concerned. Black people are especially fearful of vaccinations because in the past, you know, the government has experimented on them with vaccinations and things like that. So I see the trepidation there, but I'm telling you that I'm willing to take it, and I'm willing to take it, and I really am. I'm willing to take this vaccine as soon as they can roll it out. Pfizer, give me a call. Call me on the phone. You want my number? You can call me collect, but I want to take this vaccine because you know what? I want to return to a normal life. I'm tired of, like, walking in here and wearing masks and going everywhere with a mask, and you can't go anywhere. I mean, basically, you know, I used to be able to, like, to go to Walmart. There used to be a 24-hour Walmart down there in Silicon Valley. So you can go there, like, at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you can do things like that. Or you want to go get pizza at 1 o'clock in the morning. Or you want to get a hot dog at 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't do anything. You can't go to the eyebrow shop. I mean, you know, I was slick enough to get a haircut before they jumped in with that haircut ban. But the bottom line is, everybody's life is impacted differently. I understand that. And of course, because I'm a bit of a loner, I guess my life isn't impacted as much as some people that have families and things like that. But I'm begging you against these family get-togethers for the holidays. I mean, you know, this just doesn't look well. I mean, I'm going to tell you, there's a guy do I know his name? All right, I'm going to put you, he was a man of God. And he has a church here on the peninsula, and he used to be a big DJ here in town as far as music and things like that were concerned. So anyway, he decided he was going to have open church again, you know, and like, you know, after they said, you know, don't have open church because of the coronavirus and this and that. So he decided he was going to have open church again, and I said to him, you know, I don't think that's such a smart idea. And he told me, you know what, blah, 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 I'm doing it. He did it. He's got COVID. He's in ICU. He's on a ventilator. His wife's got COVID, and his two kids have got COVID. I mean, now what more do I have to – Cuddy, what more do I have to say than that? What more can I say? He thought God was going to take care of the COVID. God can't beat the COVID. It just can't. Straight up. So what I'm trying to tell you is, let's wear the mask. Let's wash our hands. Let's be socially distanced. And as far as the 6 foot's concerned, I read a South Korean story, the South Korean – study a couple of days ago where they're saying that 6 feet, it travels up to 20 feet in a room without air conditioning moving it around. So just in a still room, that virus can go 20 feet from one person to another. So what I'm trying to tell you, 6 feet isn't the way to go. But if you wear your mask and you wear a decent mask, you got a hell of a shot. Now, hour number two, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we're going to be talking about the Macho Man, Hector Camacho. Of course, wow, his life came to an end a few years ago. Bit of a tragedy, but it's sort of like you knew it was coming. Why? Because he was Hector, and he was the most self-destructive guy on the planet. That's just the way it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little Frampton to the break. This is Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
No doubt about it, the future of boxing, of course, as I said, is at 135 pounds, and I think that eventually Shakur Stevenson will be at 135 pounds. Of course, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Last night he was victorious, no doubt about that.
Shakur, you put in some work tonight. You showed the skill, the will. He just wouldn't go down, but how do you grade your performance, which wasn't even supposed to happen if not for the cancellation of Burchell Valdez?
I mean, before I start, I want to say a happy birthday to my little brother Isaiah. Today is his birthday. I wanted to give him a birthday present, so that was my birthday present. But you got an experienced fighter who know how to survive. At the end of the day, you know, it's fighters who know how to survive, and it's experienced fighters who know how to survive. He got a lot of experience. He's been around for a long time. I know him since back in the amateurs. He knew how to survive. Like, he came in there to survive, and that's what he did.
You got some quality rounds. You started boxing back here in the bubble in June, and you close out 2020. You're still young enough to believe in Santa. So 2021, what fights are you asking Santa for?
I mean, I want the WBO belt first. So the winner out of Frampton and Jamel had to come see me. And after that, we're going to go straight to Burchell.
Former WBO featherweight champion Shakur Stevenson, now 15 in his hip, 8 KOs, of course, outclassed Mr. Toka Khan Clary, 28-3. I had him at 28-2 before, but now 28-3, 19 KOs over 10 rounds last night. Of course, that was at the bubble in Las Vegas. All three judges scored a 10 zip in rounds, or 190 on the scorecard. Straight up, good looking fighter, no doubt about that, but you really want to see what happens when he hooks up, of course, with the winner of Carl Frampton and Mr. Herring being the champion at 138 as far as the UFC is concerned. After that, of course, they want to take on Burchell. I guess that will be at 135 pounds, but the kid's moving up in weight. He's got the right attitude, maybe not so much outside of the ring, but in the ring, I mean, he wants to fight the good guys. More power to him. Shakur Stevenson, one of those superstars maybe in the making. Of course, Teofimo, I think he's already there. Gervonta Davis, I think he's got a little bit to go. And of course, people say to me, how can you say that? Davis is better than Lopez. No, not really, isn't he? No, Davis is not the world linear lightweight champion. I mean, come on, Vasyl Lomachenko was like unbeaten. He lost that one fight to Salido, of course, got mugged in that over-the-weight match. match. But outside of that, he went to school there, never lost another professional fight, went like 399-1 as an amateur. Come on, man. The guy's like unbeaten his entire lifetime. And then Lopez not only takes him to school, but he shuts him down for the serve the first six rounds for sure. If not the first seven rounds. I mean, come on. The fight was over with by the seventh round. Everybody said, oh, come on, man. The scores are too long. The scores are too long. Come on. The scores weren't too long. The scores were about right. Yeah, I know the Julie Letterman had it 11-1 or something like that. I mean, 11-1 might have been a stretch, but at the end of the day, I had it 9-3. So she saw it two rounds different than me. At the end of the day, Teofimo Lopez is the upcoming star, of course, at 135 pounds. Now, Gervonta Davis. Tank, you got to make your move, baby. It's you and Lopez. Of course, Lopez is going to go to Australia, make some money, see what happens after that. But Davis and Lopez should be the fight of 2021 as far as the lightweights are concerned. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. If you are listening to us live, it's 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific on Saturday, of course, for an hour live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, of course, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, upcoming on Sports Byline, of course, we will bring you the Hector Camacho story. The Macho Man, live, unplugged, and sometimes R-rated. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, Hector Camacho on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.